whether you look at it in God and it being his son that was on the cross and he's suffering because his son's suffering, or him literally the one who is suffering at the same time, you can take either side of that coin.
Sure.
The greater point is, you want to know how much I love you?
That's
this it. Is how
yeah,
much.
You got it.
How far do I have to go to show you how much I love you?
Look, man, as much as I love people, if it meant me sacrificing Daniel versus them, for and not even them, if it's somebody I know, I might be tempted to think about it. But if it's some thug on the street, what am I going to do that for?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we were when it comes to sin. Yeah, it just overemphasizes or kind of highlights what his love is, how much it is.
Do you think?
Do I think?
That's
not so much. Try to do it as much as possible.
I wouldn't mind. I need to get a smoker or something like that to it.
Come over and I'll show you my skills.
I don't know that. You bring it on in one day. We could have a show. We could have the other 167 over ribs, or better yet, over a brisket.
Ooh, I've got that too. I've got a lot of meat that's just in the freezer.
Right,
like two.
You got to get rid of some of it.
Yes, I do.
Is any of it a brisket?
Yes.
You know, a good smoked brisket is so good. And then, like with burn-ins, I love that too.
Where can you get a good brisket? Because Gabe's been wanting me to make brisket, and I don't know where to get a brisket.
Well,
they don't know if they have it just at like Food Line or Harris Teeter.
They
got to go.
They do.
What's it called?
It's called brisket.
Bruh.
It's just in the beef section next to the steaks.
Mm-hmm. It's in that section.
It might not be there every day.
Yeah,
it's there.
But now you can also go to like a butcher shop.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen like
they'll have them.
I've seen like you have pork ribs and things like that.
Yeah.
I've seen balsam butts and all that kind of stuff. I've not seen brisket. I don't know what the meat was. I don't know if it was just called beef brisket or
it's about the ones I've seen. I think is this Bible.
Yep.
Okay. And this ain't the one I'd get, but Aldi's has got one that's a corned beef brisket that you can put in the smoker.
That's pretty good.
Now, I'd love some of that because I love some corned beef.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, I love corned beef and hash. Nobody else does.
Out of the can?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I do too, actually. So
that is, but I cook it every Christmas, and my kids are like, you're the only one that eats that.
No, yeah, I do like it. Christmas. Or potted meat. Yeah,
like that's a lot like a potted meat.
Yeah.
But now, when we went on the cruise ship, they had corned beef and hash every morning. I'd eat two platefuls of it. I wouldn't even bother with anything else.
Nice.
And some bacon. But I would just pile that stuff up because I know I don't ever get to eat it at home because nobody else will eat it. Daniel calls it Alpo.
Well, it does look like it.
It does. But boy, howdy, is it good.
Well, if you don't have high blood
pressure.
Blood pressure, yeah.
Or it's pretty salty.
Like it's like 50% of your daily intake.
Yeah.
Well, that's just one.
Well, Christmas morning, I can tell you my salt intake on Christmas morning.
Yeah, probably, that's what I'm saying. You definitely
way more than that. I probably don't need to eat salt the rest of the year, and I probably don't, other than leftovers.
My mother used to get a salted country one, but she would cook it herself. But now you can just buy it.
Cooked.
Yeah, it's already.
Yeah,
done.
Well,
Mom
Mom gets one and she boils it.
Uh-huh.
And we have we have a boiled ham, and then we have a...
She boils to get some of the salt out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we cut some of the pieces to fry up on Christmas morning. Fry them babies up with a little red-eye gravy if you want it.
Oh, yeah.
But I do like that, and I'm I am a breakfast meat connoisseur. That's my favorite meat, I reckon.
I do love some breakfast meat.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Even tenderloin. I like tenderloin.
What about salt pork?
I
love that too.
We've had it.
Yeah. But you can't get it. I've got to go up to the farmer. Farmer's Market and buy it now. Have to go
Strickling, Strickafant, Fat Bank.
Yep.
We've had it all. And I love
it. That's the difference. The Fat Bank's not the same.
Yep.
I did I cooked last night for the kids, and they wanted pork chops. So if I'm going to cook, I'm going to cook a lot.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go through the trouble of getting it fired up, I'm going to go ahead and cook me about a week's worth. So
that's
about four or five.
You were out there all night then.
I put it this way. I cooked ate while I cooked the second wave, and then cooked a third wave while the kids were cleaning up, whatever. So I made three boneless, just sort of thinner fillets, four big bone-in pork chops, and then two like thick. Pork chop. Yeah, two.
Renee thick. Does not, but I love them.
Oh, man, there's nothing better than a pork chop with a lot of fat.
Yeah. That was my, so.
That's a lot of fat. Got it seasoned.
Yeah. But you know what? It's amazing. I've watched, and again, she doesn't listen, so I ain't got to worry about it. She does work every now and then. But Renee has come up. She's developed into her own as far as a cook, but she won't admit it.
She won't admit it. She's
no,
a good cook?
No, she hates cooking. So she's like, I hate it. No, I'm not good at it. And I'm like, yeah, you are.
No, she's better than what she thinks.
Yeah. And it ain't because of me. It's because of them three ungrateful kids we had growing up. Who were like, I don't like that. And so she got to wear them. I ain't cooking nothing. Chicken nuggets. Yeah. Ugh. Chicken nugget. Boy, this country. They eat more chicken nuggets than...
That is... I don't even know what's in a chicken nugget.
No, you don't want to know.
I know.
It's kind of like your potted meat. You don't want to know.
Yeah. Hot dog or...
Don't ask.
I'm just glad they're real. Yeah. That's I actually did audit to a... I had to do a... I think it was Good Mark Foods, Slim Jims.
Right.
Oof. And they were in Garner at the time.
Yeah.
They're gone now.
Yeah, wait do you
Jones
see
Jones Sausage
that?
Road.
Yeah. You don't want that. Chicken nuggets.
You don't want to.
Literally about the only thing Christian will eat anymore, or ever is Christian. And I picked him up yesterday and said, what are you going for dinner tonight? He said, how about Chick-fil-A? I said, how about we had Chick-fil-A like three nights ago, four nights ago, five nights ago? Like, let's take a break from it. He said, okay, chicken nuggets then.
Yeah, so, or, all right, how about McDonald's chicken nuggets?
Yeah, McDonald's chicken nuggets, yeah.
I was just going to say, hot dogs, they're not red. They dye them for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I want them dyed.
I read a report that for every hot dog you eat, that's 12 minutes off your life. Now, add to it. Now, again, I don't know how you prove that because who knows when you're going to die. But they say it takes 12 minutes off your life. But now, like, if you do something healthy and go for a walk, it adds.
Oh, yeah.
So best thing to do is eat a hot dog and go for a two-mile walk.
That's the only meat that will explode in the microwave.
Explode,
really?
Yeah,
gotta explode.
Yeah. I mean, cook them for about
Peel up.
Yeah,
that's the only.
I ain't never seen them explode, but I ain't never tried it. I mean, I've seen the skin pop open, of course, when you do that.
Yeah.
Oh, good hot dogs, good meat.
Now, compare for us the hot traditional hot dog to just a good sausage brat. Are they any healthier?
Either one, both of them are not.
Man. Well, I believe the sausage brat would be a little bit healthier.
Yeah,
I mean,
sausage.
That's about like saying, I don't know,
yeah.
Smoking a cigar is better than smoking a cigarette. And I don't know that either one is healthy.
Did you poison?
and I don't want to know what's in them. But I didn't know that red is dye, and those guys used to. I would see them having their whole arms were red from the dye. Yeah, mm-hmm. They weren't wearing gloves.
Yeah. Well, boys, I thought my voice was back, but I learned.
Doesn't sound too bad. Well, sounds a lot better.
Well, I learned on my 11 o'clock call this morning that I still have a shelf life, about 15 minutes of talking, and it goes real quick because I was struggling. But we'll see if we can get through. Welcome back to the 167, everybody.
Yes.
But, I'm hoping it'll – I still have to nurse it a little bit, so still –
It's amazing
let y'all
how,
take the lead today.
How the stuff out there is hanging on.
Mine's like
Renee was like for 2 weeks, just didn't feel good or didn't, had no voice. They had no, I mean, just congestion. Made so much congestion. Unbelievable.
She had a bad one last year too, didn't she?
She did. I'm beginning to question her her health priorities compared to mine.
Ben, I guess everybody has a rough day once in a while, man.
Right.
And I tell you what, your Sunday, you powered through it, but things did not go probably the way you had them in mind when you woke up Sunday morning.
No. At least it didn't stay gone out long.
Every time you thought it was gone, it came back.
Yeah.
It was the funniest thing to see. Like, you'd start shouting and it'd come back, and then you'd talk normally and it'd go away.
And I could, you know, you can hear up there the speaker. And I was like, doggone, there it goes again. And, but it was, that was a challenge. It was, Sunday was an interesting day, to say the least.
I heard the first part, missed all the middle. I heard the last part.
Because you were out or because of the sound?
It was on YouTube.
Probably when the sound was out, I bet it didn't play on YouTube.
Yeah.
It probably didn't pick it up.
Because most likely your mic is what's feeding into the YouTube audio. So with that not working, there's probably no sound.
So you'll know that half of it was not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not sure what Keaton was going to do with that. Because he was telling me, he said, man, I can't do nothing about it because your mic does feed directly to the video.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure with the way they have it all set up here, it's not like, I mean, in this room, that's a mic source and that's a mic source and that's a video, but this is a 2x, we're doing it in a 10 square foot area here in the sanctuary there. I imagine the next closest mic source was probably up in the balcony when yours was out.
That worked. The thing is, the whole soundboard just.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched yourself on TV?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The only question that I have, and it's not really a question, but for somebody that hasn't attended the sermon or the service, I had the bulletin, so I have your outline. But if you're sitting at home, you don't have no outline.
Technically, you do. You can.
I think because they put the slides up on the screen, don't they?
They did.
If you have the Bible app. If you have my Bible app, Keaton puts the outline out there.
He does that, right.
Yep. Yeah. So technically, you can have it out.
I don't know if they're aware of that.
It's been on the announcement rolling screen.
Yeah.
And I know folks who go and get the outline like Friday or Saturday night and just kind of look at it. So, and it has been. So even those that are shut in have that QR code pop up. Right. Now, whether or not they know what a QR code is or even want to do it,
that's the first time I've ever watched it.
If they're live streaming, I guarantee you they probably, I was thinking, the folks I know that if they're home, they're not live streaming, some of them. Now, if you're live streaming, you probably know how to use a QR code or you can get somebody to help you do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's just all that I picked up,
And there's several ways you could do that, but they can get it. And if they're not, I mean, it's not so that you have to have it. You can write it down because I think it shows up on the words as far as, the screen and number one. Or if you just listen, I'm hoping you're hearing me teach the outline. Point number one is this. Point number two, point number three. So, I mean, you don't have to have it. Right. If you're just following at home, I can write one.
I tried to read lips, but it was hard.
I hate it did that because we had a good time. It was a great I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the study of it last week more so than even the preaching of it. But I was hoping at least a handheld would work. I thought it might have been my sound pack. And it wasn't that.
Yeah, I was wondering what was up with that when the handhelds weren't working either. So it was the whole soundboard.
And what we best could figure is this. There's something called the sequencer, and I don't know what all you get out of my head, but the sequencer is in due for an update, and only the company that installed it can really install that update. And they hadn't been able to get by here. So we've kind of tricked it this week that it won't ever cut off. So we'll see how it goes. I hope it doesn't do it again. But I was sitting there like, if I got to yell this thing, I'll yell it. But dadgum.
Yeah, I mean, I'll kidding aside. I mean, it's funny, I guess, in a way, because you don't think about that necessarily. But, everybody has had that experience, right? You have some days where things just don't go your way, right? No matter what, you did all the best could, but some days it just don't work out.
And here's the thing. I've always thought to myself, look, man, if there's a way the enemy can try to disrupt, make somebody's mind go off of it, do those kind of things, he definitely will, whether it's a soundboard that goes off, a youngin' crying, or something going on that just would be anything. Yeah, telephone, something to distract.
I think one of the small takeaways that I mean, it was a great sermon, and I enjoyed. I hate that the people online weren't able to hear it all, but one of the small little subtle takeaways that I got from it was, I mean, you powered right through it, man. And you can't control those things. You just kind of said, all right, we're just going to go old school style.
Hey, if Peter can preach to 5,000 without some kind of voice application,
that's right.
Maybe our amplification, maybe we can hit at least 200 to 300. Yeah. But, I mean, and even then, when we got there in the morning, it filled in nicely by the end of the service. It was a good crowd. But at the beginning, I was like, my goodness, where is everybody? It must be daylight savings time. It's hit hard.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of younger families.
We only had two people.
I know. Our younger people were out.
I went to Children's Church, and then Renee sent me back. She said, we ain't got to we're going back.
Isn't this the week of spring break? Right? Okay.
That's April 2nd. Is it April 2nd? I think it was a couple things. Okay. One is, it was the weather wasn't too decent, but it was a spring forward. I think that's one. So a lot of younger families. But I know that there are a couple of families that are on vacation in our town, even though it ain't spring break. So
that was one of them too, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it was, I only had three in preschool Sunday school, which that's not even getting started.
I think I really think it was more of spring forward.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. A couple of just little one-liners from God. I love the funny little one-liners from God that I get once in a while. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a little story from last week. So Gabe took a tough loss Thursday night. His basketball team only lost one game all year. They're in the semifinals, and they got beat in the semifinals, or the Final Four, as I'll call it. And I knew it was going to hurt him. You know, it was one of those things. I remember being that age, and my basketball team kind of had the same type of thing a couple years in a row. We were a good team, and then got beat by a team we should have beat. And you know, those are going to leave a mark. So, and I didn't have a voice, so I couldn't shout the way I would have liked to. But I probably still was a little bit more animated than I should have been. And Mama had come down to watch it, and she told me a couple of times, you need to calm down now. Gabe's going to take his cues from you. You know, well, at the end of the game, when it was about out of reach, we were down about eight with about a minute and a half left, and I'm looking at Gabe on the bench, and I'm just, my heart's breaking knowing that this is going to hurt him. You know, you hate to see your kids sad, even if it is over a basketball game. And I wanted to say a prayer, but I wasn't going to pray for God to help us come back. I don't believe in, you know, praying for that kind of thing. So I couldn't think of what to say.
And yeah, 100 line.
That's right. I couldn't think of what to pray. I just said, Lord, when the game's over, just help Gabe to represent you well. Yeah. No sooner could I get that prayer out, he said, you need to be thinking about how you represent me until the game's over. Yeah. I said, touche. But another funny one, he said, you know, I think a couple of weeks ago on the show, I talked about this, that I love my kids to death, and everybody, you know, you don't want to, I don't want it to come across the wrong way. They aggravate the crap out of you sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't mean you don't love them, but they just, sometimes they're going to bug you to death. And I feel guilty sometimes when they are getting on my nerves, you know, but sometimes that's how it's going to be. Well, I was thinking about that a couple of weeks ago. I think we talked about it on the show. And I just had that thought of, you know, I feel bad, but sometimes, no matter, even though I love them, they can drive me crazy sometimes. And God said, yeah, I know that feeling very well. And I busted out laughing at that one, because this was like, oh, yeah, I guess you do get that one, don't you?
It is one of those that I think having children teaches you a whole lot about your relationship with the Father, mm-hmm. and how easy it is for them to drive you up the wall. Or, like I said, I mean, I think it's one of, hey, when you see your children hurt, he hurts. Mm-hmm. I think it's one that is, you know, he's compassionate and kind and loving. And so I think being a father teaches us a whole lot, or being a parent teaches us a whole lot about how much God loves us, how much he cares for us, what he is there for, or what he is doing for us.
Well, there was a small little thing, seriously, about the game, Gabe losing, that I did think about God in that a little bit, in the way that I know it's a basketball game and it's not very important in the grand scheme of things, but to Gabe it is. Mm-hmm. And I did know how much it was hurting. I mean, it hurt me to see, you know, to know he was hurting, even though I know it's not that important in the grand scheme of things, to him it is. And there's a parallel to that probably in our lives too, because all the stuff that upsets us, most of it's not important in the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of eternity.
But it still hurts us, and that still is going to hurt God to see.
And he's there for you. And I think that's the thing is, he's there to comfort, or he's there to give grace. I mean, I think it's in our weaknesses, in our hurts, in our pains and struggles, whatever we go through, that's where his grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. And that's where leaning on that grace, that's where that comes from. And that's, you know, unfortunately, it takes times of needing grace to find out how good of a gracious God he is, because he gives it. But it's still a beautiful picture of, hey, he's going to be there and give grace.
So you started to touch on something a minute ago that I think we can dig into. It was actually on one of my questions. You're talking about the sermon Sunday, and you know the enemy's going to use things if he can to disrupt the message. We might have talked about this a little bit before, but the excuse we make up sometimes, the devil made me do it. How much does the devil really make us do, or how big of a force is he in our lives versus what we maybe use as a cop-out? Because I think I heard you say before that, you know, it's probably not as – the devil doesn't have the same powers that God and the Holy Spirit has. Absolutely. He's not right. Omnipresent and omnipower. He doesn't have all that. So he can't be 8 billion places at one time doing –
He has a big kingdom.
He can't beat Michael, the archangel, so – he definitely ain't touching God.
Right.
So he's definitely not omni anything.
Right.
Except omnipest maybe, but even then he can't be everywhere at once. So now as far as how much it plays into our individual temptations and all, I don't know that it is the devil himself. As much as, look, he's the one that made this fallen world, and we now have this sin nature that oftentimes we don't need too much help because we're oftentimes carried away by our own, as James says, we're carried away by our own lusts and our own enticements. And so I think the enemy can set traps. The enemy does walk around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So I think he's always looking for Christians who are hurting and ailing, maybe even struggling in their faith, and we'll do anything. I mean, look at, we're going to talk about this a little bit on Sunday as we're in Genesis 3 of how he goes about just, if he can do anything to make you doubt God's word, to make you, to deceive you from knowing what God's word is and to cause disbelief. That's what exactly what he's going to try to do. But now, is he in every believer's life doing it? I don't think so. I mean, he just can't be.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, there are, I mean, he has plenty of, he's got a vast kingdom, you said it. And so, yeah, there are times we're going to be tempted and there's going to be trials and struggles. I think one of the things I would recommend, and I don't know, it's not biblical, but it is biblically based, I believe, is Screw Tape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It helped me to understand and kind of dive deeper into exactly what is spiritual warfare, what the enemy likes to do, and basically it's a collection of letters written between, and I hate to say it, demons talking to each other about how to cause their human to fall or to sin or to doubt, and it just has an insight. C.S. Lewis was a neat writer, brilliant mind, and you know, again, it's not the Bible. At the same time, it helps us to know. So, I mean, it's not necessarily the Satan himself as much as it is, again, I think I say our own selfish lust. I mean, we don't need any help being selfish. It comes natural.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Well, you've got sort of three different layers or levels of it, I guess you could pin it to. You've got the devil himself.
Right.
And certainly, I think that's a possibility that comes into some parts of our life. You've got his demons that can be used, which is kind of his, I guess, army, for lack of a better word. But then you've also got our own sinful nature, which came from, in a way, him in the garden, that I tend to lean a little bit more towards when I do something that just, you sitting there and say, how could I do that? How could I do that? Well, rather than me saying that the devil made me do it, I just tend to think that was just me and my nature is to do bad things. It's only by God's grace that I manage to not do them all the time. And in a moment of weakness, the real me comes out and overpowers. You know, if I'm not set on him, then I'm capable of doing plenty of bad on my own. But it doesn't mean that I don't believe the devil can or doesn't ever, you know, get involved in our lives and try to tempt us and all that. It's just, but I think sometimes we might just not want to take our own, we might not want to be accountable to our own sinful nature sometimes, so we kind of blame it on the devil when it might have sort of just been our own evil nature.
It's the old flesh is what it is, because you're a new creation in Christ, but that old flesh is still there. Mm-hmm. And that's why there must be a daily dying or a crucifying of the flesh over and over again. But I think the key that I would go as far as what levels we are against would be Ephesians 6. For our struggle, and this is verse 12, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, yeah, there's a spiritual war going on that's so much more than just Satan or the devil. There's several different things that are going on there that we battle against. And then the biggest battle, of course, is ourself against our old flesh.
Well, I'm saying excited.
What you got?
I mean, this is part of his kingdom, too, in Romans 38. I am persuaded principalities, nor yep. powers, nor things to come, nor demons, nor height, nor death. And so he was also explaining that's part of the kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan. But I think, based on my life, is, first of all, if I was left alone, to choose between God and good and evil.
Okay.
I would, and I think everybody would, we would go that way. We would go down and not up. We would go more wrong. Well, I mean, you see in the world that you would tend to go lower and not go holier or more evil. And I think if we are saved and we can't lose our salvation, I believe the devil's main focus is to get rid of us, but is to make us ineffective.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes, and that's part of, you know, and to be ineffective, to not have a witness, to doubt, and so that's what I think a lot of it. But I think most of our problems, and I would say, I would put a very high level on that it's our own fault.
Sure. Yeah. Well, 90%.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that one.
90% is our own fault.
I was thinking it.
But here's the thing. I agree with you, because I tend to think, but at the same time, when I hear that statement, I'm almost on a buck at it a little bit that, My natural tendency is to go to the dark side. Agreed, before Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's where 2 Corinthians 5:17 makes me want to say, well, what part is it that makes me want to go to the light side? Or is it the Holy Spirit telling me this is what I need to do? I mean, because I'm of the new notion, or under the notion of, if I'm a new creation in Christ, that means I'd not necessarily have to go that way. So there's a part of me that says, what part of me now is more drawn to the good? And I know, you know, part of it is how much am I submitted to the Holy Spirit,
exactly,
of course.
Yeah.
But since I'm a new creation in Christ, is that necessarily true of me anymore? And again, I know what our natural human tendencies are, but now am I something different?
Well, I see it as that, you know, once you get saved, you're going to get all of God that you're ever going to get. He's not going to give you any more, because you got it all. We just don't know how to use it.
Well, and I think it's more of how much does he have of you?
Yes.
Yeah. You've got all of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
How much of you does the Holy Spirit have? And I think that might be part of the answer of, all right, which part is going to make me go, not necessarily always to the dark, but to the light. I mean, do you understand where I'm coming and saying, I totally get you, what you're saying. At the same time, though, am I totally ignoring what the Holy Spirit does in our life and that we've been changed? And so I don't know if that's something you grow into, or if it's something, I think it's progressive for sure. But again, I've been given all of the Holy Spirit.
We just don't know how to use it.
Or maybe we're not fully submitted, But I think it goes back to, and it is a progressive. I mean, let's just face facts. Everything in our life, as far as our spiritual, is going to be progressive or regressive, whichever way you're walking with or away from the Lord. So it is going to be something that we grow into. I mean, I think that's something that when
when Jesus talks about discipleship. And is it Luke 14? I believe it is, 27. And he talks about you got to count the cost. And he says, what man lays the foundation, runs out of money, and can't build the rest of the tower? There's a building of a tower there that we need to make sure that we're building upon good, the foundation. That it's a progress that we go into.
Well, yes, I think Peter. You can see the time. You can see the difference in him before the crucifixion. After the crucifixion, before his first letter, and after his first letter, so you can see a process of what is recorded in the Bible. He was still doing wrong. Paul told him, Gentiles is just as much,
Galatians
have just as much a relationship as you do.
Who are you hanging out with? You pretend to be Gentile, pro-Gentile, but then when they come face to face with the Jews, you turn the other way.
I think his first, well, I don't know, is which one? The first one is more polished, isn't it? Or is it the second one, Peter? Which is more
second polished? Is a little more.
More polished?
Yep.
Okay. I'm assuming that was
all of it's dirty. He was not a clean writer John. No.
But
I
imagine he might have had somebody to write it for him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, so did Paul to some extent.
Well, Paul, yeah. Well,
I mean, he had an antithesis that would write it. Paul, except sometimes he said, see what letters I've written with my own hand.
Now, he did write Galatians.
Yep.
And that might have been.
Or he might have written the last little part.
He might have. Well, we know he wrote that.
He didn't have enough scroll.
He did write that one. I know he wrote that one verse anyway.
Yeah. So I think it's one of, going back to the original, I think it's just important to understand that when we're in Christ, and I've said this numerous times, bring back Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, I'm dead to that. I no longer have to serve that.
Right there.
And that's Romans 6, 1 through 4, Galatians 2, 20. I mean, we need to understand that, the enemy is real, and the enemy wants to try to trip you up. But the enemy also is not, I don't know that the enemy is, and I hate to put it this way, I don't know that the enemy is necessarily concerned about me personally as he is others.
Right.
Other, and I've always said this, hey, if you're a lukewarm Christian, the enemy wants to leave you right where you're at. Yeah. Why bother you? You if you sleep on the bench, ain't no need to get him in the game.
I mean, if he could change the government to make, where it was official that, communists, there's no God. That's where he's going to be at, man. Yeah. I've gotten where 2 billion people won't go to heaven.
But he would also, I think he'd be more interested in the ones that are getting the gospel in there.
Yes.
Because hey, he's got that settled.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key. But it always goes back to he has plenty of other forces, the principalities, the rulers, and all that. That's what we struggle with. And we will be enticed sometimes by that. But sometimes it's going to be our own stupid, our own being.
But we also have to remember, because the world gets this mixed up. There is not. We put the devil on the same level as God. Good, evil.
Yeah.
It's like this.
It ain't even.
God is supreme. He has a thorn in his flesh, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. But the world puts, the good angel, the bad angel.
Yep.
So.
And they're not equal.
No, not at all.
It'd be the equivalent of saying SEC basketball. ACC basketball minus Duke. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even or NBA versus Pee Wee.
Yeah.
Versus what goes on at Council Gym over here on Saturday.
Even Christians.
That's not even there anymore. Oh, yeah. And sometimes give him powers that he ain't got. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not omni anything.
And I know Job speaks about what happens in heaven. I mean, I'm confused with that, too. I don't know how that happens, how he can go in front of God, a holy God, and not be, killed or whatever.
Well, I would offer a theory to that, but I don't know this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still an angel.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a difference there. But I will say that, you know, everything he does is under the sovereign control of God. He doesn't act on anything on his own. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that really causes some struggles.
Yeah. That's good to have Job, what Job said in that, that regard. I think that's the only place where he comes before the throne.
But it's in the scriptures. But now it is interesting that, as I look at Genesis 3, which we're going to be looking at Sunday, as we're looking at Christ in the Old Testament, verse 15 is the first mention of a Savior who's going to come. But you also got to take a look at the fall. And part of me is, well, God, why did you even allow the fall? I mean, Satan had to have, he didn't just act on his own. He can't just sovereignly do whatever he wants to do. He's got to have permission.
Exactly.
So, but it goes back to God's going to reveal his glory through the biggest act of love there ever has been. And that was through Christ.
Then you get the question on that is, why did God create me?
I mean, it's all for his glory. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's several different reasons.
I mean, I'm coming at you at a second point. Why did God create man if he knew they were going to?
I think it goes to show that to reveal his love. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it's all about his glory being shown through that.
And hell is God's way of giving men their free will.
Yeah,
you choose to go. So. It's not a good choice, but you know that's kind of how. I mean, I don't got it worked out, but that's kind of how I think that hell is actually a place where.
Where there's no God.
Yes, and you choose that.
Yeah.
And that's free choice.
Yep.
He don't like it, but man's free choice is either you can go to hell. Well, I guess that was man's choice too. But I don't get that. Well, I do not get that question. Well, if God knew everybody was going to, you know, people aren't going to go to heaven, why did he create heaven? Or not heaven, but why?
Why is there going to be an alternative to heaven?
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to his justice and, you know.
You hear this. Why is the heathen always in the jungle? You know, there are deserts.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. We're hung up on one little point.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of heathens up in the mountains that never have heard of God.
You and I, Kenny, were talking a couple of weeks ago about something that I think would be fun to flesh out on the show here. That kind of takes the opposite. End, right? We're talking about Genesis 3, the beginning of this story, and now this is kind of jumping to the cross,
not going to Revelation, but to the cross.
So,
okay.
Kenny and I were just kind of.
I'm denying everything.
Well, you were the one who said we should talk about it on the show sometime. You were the one who said we should talk about this on the show. So, okay, here we are.
I don't even remember it. Though.
Well, it's been about a month because we missed 3 weeks there.
Yeah.
But so I'm trying to think how to efficiently frame this. So as a parent, the worst thing that can be seeing your kids suffer is the most difficult thing to do, right? So I think about when I'm sick or when I see the kids sick, I would trade places with them in a heartbeat if I could.
Heartbeat.
Okay. So started thinking about the significance maybe of God sending his son to die for our sins as opposed to, maybe say it this way. God ultimately wants us to know how much he loves us.
Okay.
He puts us here so that he can show his love. We mess it up. He gives us all the Mosaic law to give us other ways that we can know him.
To reveal himself.
Yeah. We mess that up. Mm-hmm. He sends Jesus, and it's like, okay, once and for all, I'm going to show you how much I love you.
His ultimate plan.
Right. And it gets a little bit tough maybe to quite break this down, but as the father, he could have taken the punishment, so to speak, or taken the I don't know how you frame that, but it's almost like, no, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take it one step further and send my son to suffer.
Because careful, we're getting into modalism here, where you almost have three gods, mm-hmm. and you got to be careful because it's three in one. And that, right. again, you're pushing. I think you're almost combining two hard theological questions.
Okay,
you're dealing with the Trinity,
mm-hmm. right?
But then you're also dealing with his justice. And I don't know which side you really want to go with, because you know God sending His Son is I mean I think you know if I heard it right is God could have took it Himself, but He sent His Son. Well, they're three in one, so right. it is God dying in our place. God in flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So I mean He is fully God, fully man. So it is God taking our punishment.
Well, again,
that's the hard part to work out for me oftentimes.
It is, and I think that's really the first note that – so I've got a note, and then that leads to the very first thing that I've written down is, did God suffer on the cross? We think Absolutely. Of it – you have the question some people right. – I've heard people say, if God's so loving, why would He do that to His Son? That's right. that's a sure. worldly way of looking at that. Okay, well, there's no question that God suffered on the cross. Mm-hmm. Now, but the question might become yeah. like, okay, was it that He – suffered in the sense of, as you're talking modalism, I'm suffering because I'm seeing my son suffer.
Right, right.
Or was I literally the one there with him nailed to the cross, feeling, right. you know, maybe that's too deep to get into, but.
Well, it's hard to understand.
Yeah.
Because if Jesus is God in flesh, mm-hmm. fully God, fully man, and He's on the cross, and the Bible says that the Father turned His back. And Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Right.
Okay, that is one of those things that, I'll be honest with you, we've been trying to explain it. Theologians have been trying to explain that for 2,000 years, and I surely won't get it right on a podcast. And I just worked that out in my mind, but how I'm going to express it, I don't know. So I think it's one of, but I don't want to get to the point of, okay, it was God and they were separate. No, they're three in one.
Right.
And, you know, how that works is, because one of the hardest questions Daniel ever asked me was, you know, Dad, when you look at, when Jesus was praying, wasn't He talking to Himself?
Right.
Well, no, the Father was in heaven. Mm-hmm. The Son was on earth, but they're still three in one.
Yeah.
That was a tough one to map out and hammer out.
What about, and I know you've heard this, you can't separate them.
Right.
They're together, but they are separate. It's like, and I know you've heard this, like fire, smoke.
Yeah. Or ice and water, vapor, yeah. eggs. And I think that is, again, that gets you to
that gets
to
you modalism. Closer.
But it ends up eventually getting to modalism. Yeah. And I think it's one of, I don't know that there is an analogy on this earth that's going to help us to really truly understand that they're three in one. God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, they are three different.
To some extent,
the roles that they play. But I don't want to break them down into three modes of God.
I mean, I've, in my mind, I've got it. I'm fine with it.
Oh, I'm happy with mine. It's just I don't know that I can explain it to where you're going to be happy with it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at.
Well, and I'm not.
I just see
the
three different ones, and they're all together.
Yeah, keep talking.
I mean, I pray to Jesus, I pray to God, but here's the one I don't pray to, maybe I should, but I've never really thought about it, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. But He's just as important, but I don't know why. I don't think I've ever heard in a Protestant church where you pray to the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's even the one that I've...
That's a silent partner.
I've seen it, but the thing of it is the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit's going to want to point you.
Yes.
And believe it or not, I've been in prayer meetings where that was done. And at the same time, it felt odd because
What I'm going to say.
The Spirit's going to say, no, it ain't about me, Joker. It's about Jesus, about the Father. Pray to them.
I prayed to Jesus mostly when I was younger.
Well, when I listen to my kids pray, I really don't think I meant for this to turn into modalism as much as it has, but When I listen to my kids pray, Gay's probably my favorite because he'll say, "Dear Jesus," at the beginning, and then at the end, he says, "In your name I pray." And I think that's kind of just funny when I hear it that way. It's like, "In your," because I'm used
I'll
to hearing
start out with Father,
and right?
Begin to talk
and,
about.
And then you at the end will say, "In Jesus' name I pray." I tend to pray to, I guess, to the Father and say, "In Jesus' name I pray."
Yeah.
But Gabe prays to Jesus and at the end says, "In your name I pray." And I listen to that and I think, is that right? Well, Jesus prayed to the Father. Can we pray to Jesus? Should we pray to Jesus? Should we pray to the Father? That can become a little bit of a
hard.
Probably an unnecessary question to some extent, because if there are three in one and the same, then you can, there's not, Jesus is God. You are praying to God when you pray to Jesus. So is the Father. So is the Spirit. But there are definitely points in the gospel that seem to point to a distinction somehow between it when Jesus is praying to the Father, when God says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." I mean, they are not speaking in the first person in those ways, right? So those are points that I get can be tricky. I think the point that I'm trying to get at is that maybe at the cross is whether you look at it and God and it being his Son that was on the cross and he's suffering because his Son's suffering, or him literally the one who is suffering at the same time. Either one points to a point he's trying to make of, this is how much I love you.
Yes.
This is how far I'm willing to go.
Right.
If it's,
or how much your sin cost.
Because, okay, no greater love than a man
lay down his life for another.
Okay, sure. Well, if it's God the Father, so to speak, taking that punishment, well, then that's that. Okay, but then at the other hand, if it's the Son, well, the only thing I can think of that hurts me more than me suffering is my Son suffering.
Right.
So you can take either side of
sure.
that coin,
sure.
and it still is, the greater point is, you want to know how much I love you?
That's
this
it.
Is how
yeah,
much.
You got it.
How far do I have to go to show you how much I love you,
sure.
is the way I take it.
Sure. And I think that's the way that I like to come at it, too. I just was, this. Maybe it's the first time I've ever really dug deep into that of, okay, the Father, because look, anytime, and I know it doesn't take away the hurt, but anytime I'm ministering to a family that has lost, maybe it was a child lost mm-hmm. at childbirth, or maybe it was a child that didn't make it past 20, whatever the case may be, is look, I want you to know the Father knows what it means to lose a son too. And doesn't necessarily take away the hurt, but look, he's right here with us. And so, yeah, I totally get it. And I think you're exactly right to hit the emphasis of, look, man, as much as I love people, if it meant me sacrificing Daniel versus them, for and not even them, if it's somebody I know, I might be tempted to think about it. But if it's some thug on the street, what do I want to do that for?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we were when it comes to sin.
Yeah.
And so that is one of those things that for sure, it just overemphasizes or kind of highlights what his love is, or how much it is.
Do you think?
Do I think?
Not
much. Try to do it.
I'm trying to look over the faults there. Do you think that Satan knew what the Trinity was?
Well, I think he probably had a better insight into than we
did. Did he know it? Did he know what the Trinity was? See, I'm not so sure that. He wanted to take over God,
right?
But he couldn't see God. But he could see Jesus.
Well, we don't know that he couldn't see God, right?
Well, no angel's ever seen God.
Well, what are the ones in Isaiah 6 doing then? Well, they cover their eyes. So I'm not sure you may be right there, because they
God's
would
spirit.
Cover their feet, their eyes, and their... I'm just trying to think if there's any way I could say... I mean, Gabriel says I'm standing in the presence of God.
Well, Gabriel, that could... That's how it's
just,
translating. That's
right.
How it's translated. But
what exactly does that mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm arguing is.
Well,
we don't.
I see a lot of times.
I know that a human can see God and live.
Yes.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, Jesus said pretty clearly, and I know an angel's spirit too.
And that's what I was going to say. And maybe that's where today we're really getting into that spirit world a lot, whether it's angels or demons or anything else. But I do know there are angels in front of him. Now, whether or not they've ever seen him, I don't know.
But I don't know if you can see God. I know it's in the Bible, but it does say that we will never see God in a physical form.
Right.
Is that right? I mean, I have to find it.
Well, I mean, in a way, yes. But it's also...
with Jesus,
Philip said, or Jesus told Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
So, I mean...
That don't mean you're seeing him with your eyes. That means you know him.
Well, Philip did.
Well, I don't know. I just don't think...
When you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
He was God in flesh, but I don't think the Father is in flesh.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, now we're going back to what I drew earlier is... The way I can put it in my mind, but I still can't word it and figure out everything about it, is you got the Father, Spirit, Son, and all that is God. God is Father, God is Spirit, God is Son. At the same time, the Son is not the Father.
Yes.
And the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father.
Where's the Father? On the top?
At the top.
Well, yeah, and I don't...
I mean, that's the old way of I've always learned it that way. Then I've seen it done this way, is you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and kind of that little part right there, kind of a Venn diagram. That's all of it's God, but he's also Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
I like the other one better.
I think so. I like this one. This is the one that I've, in my mind, I can kind of wrap it around it a little bit.
Because you can't separate them, but yet...
But it's there in the Bible, even though the word Trinity doesn't appear.
Yeah. Well,
but if you go to 1 Peter, it doesn't say Trinity, but it does say, what does it say? You've been teaching on it.
Well, 1 Peter, I've only done the first chapter.
Well, that's all you need.
Well,
you need the second, third verse. Hold on.
I know where the second, third verse is. I got it right here. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you go. Bible drills, I'll race you.
I got it. I got the, you ready?
Hold on, I'm ready.
Okay, now this is a different
translation. Hold on, let me make sure I've got it.
Why he's
according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, Jesus Christ. I'm looking at 1 Peter 1, 2.
Yeah, but he's introducing himself. I mean, he's writing, I think that's the writing to the people.
To who he's writing.
Yes.
But listen to it. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, there's the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ, that's the Son. So there's evidence of the Trinity all throughout. So it's not a...
Well, I've got a fun one here then. If we want to get into scripture debates on this, it's only two of the three mentioned here, but it's a pretty important passage. Matthew 12:32, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. That's dividing between the Spirit and the Son.
That's right.
It's a really big point. Also,
it's all right there, and you know, you could all, you know, what sends a man to eternal separation from God? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit,
right?
Because it's a,
and you know,
well, I knew that part. I don't think that I remembered or had paid attention the last time I'd read Matthew to the first part of that passage, that whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him.
Right.
I thought, that's just an interesting... I remember the second part, right. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, but he specifically says, blasphemy against the Son of Man will be forgiven. That's just an odd... I mean, it's...
Well, I guess you have to understand, what is blasphemy?
Yeah.
That's the first thing you have to...
Well, we are going as deep as we can go today.
That is rejecting, that is not listening to...
Over a period
of
time.
Basically saying not listening to...
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to, like the chart...
And,
the Spirit, Son, and all three are God.
Yeah, it's rejecting God.
And then rejecting God, then who draws you to salvation? The Holy Spirit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, I don't know if he's trying to separate it, but the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says, that draws you to God.
Yeah. And what does the Holy Spirit do? We've kind of discussed that. His job is to point to the Son.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say, well, God don't draw you to himself. Jesus don't draw you to himself. So that's really not, you're not sinning against him, but the Holy Spirit's the one that draws to you. I mean, that's terrible. I don't even want to, you know, say that, but that's why I think Jesus said, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that you can't be forgiven.
Right.
Because you can't. You're wanting.
Yeah.
You're already past. Drawing. What do you think about that?
No, I think you're exactly right. I was my mind right now is wanting to jump to Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. And do you remember what was said there? Why do you lie against God? And basically they are putting the Holy Spirit as... So, I mean, you do have the three equal. Three equal at the same time,
but they are different. To the Holy Spirit? Is that right?
Yeah, look at Acts chapter 5.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Look in there. Well, why do you lie to the Spirit? But basically you're lying
okay.
to God.
Yeah, okay. I thought that's what it said.
So basically, it's when you read it, it's basically saying the Holy Spirit is God. So it's so, and the whole purpose of this was we started with the love of God,
right?
And yeah, I think you're exactly right. There well, is a there's really nothing.
There.
We have gone around today. It's been fun.
Did you learn anything?
I haven't. Yes, I have. I've enjoyed this. It's been a challenge and a test. And
I don't know that our
two friends in India have learned anything yet, but I'm hoping they will.
I tell you what, our Instagram has been getting quite a few followers from some foreign land whose profiles are not in English. I don't know what they are.
Hello.
But I've had shout five out. Or six or ten of them. So shout out to y'all if y'all
you
understand.
Do you know what country it is?
No clue. I can't even make out
not
the letters.
Kazakhstan or
there, it's not even the letters don't even look like letters to me. It's just symbols.
Huh.
The letters that make up their names and their profile look like what are they called?
Their address or something.
It just what did it look like hieroglyphics or
yeah like that yeah
from, shout out to our two Egyptian friends yeah.
What was the font that you'd have in Microsoft Word like Wingding or something like that yeah it looked
maybe
like Wingding
maybe that's what they're doing
yeah. So I don't know who they are I don't know what but we've gotten about a dozen of them it feels like in the last couple of weeks so shout out to y'all hope y'all
hey,
hear
man,
it
I'm telling you it's amazing what technology as bad as it can be I was thinking about that this morning as bad as it can be it can also be used for good
yeah.
And there's so many things that are like that, whether it's money, whether it's any inanimate object.
But isn't it so strange that the universities, most of our universities here were started by Christian people, Christian denominations.
Yeah.
And what has happened?
Other than Carolina.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
You're exactly right. Well, they started out secular.
It was a Methodist college. They were all religious. Did you administer?
Duke.
Yeah.
Duke, Penn, Harvard, all those started out as.
And then what has it turned out to be now? You know, it's like the internet was good. You could.
And it is.
But now
I'm. Well, it's neither. It's neutral. It's how you use it.
Yeah. So all these good things that started out being good, the devil had perverted it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and we, we have our hand in that too. I mean, I don't know. Good, bad, or indifferent, what technology does is gives leverage to the powers that be, right? Yep. So when you have evil powers at work that leverage use that leverage to do bad, doing it more than we leverage it to do good, then as a whole, you're going to see more bad than good come out of it. And then you sit around.
Well, in the world, though, let's be honest, we're in a world that is a dark, dark world.
Yeah.
And it is not, it is evil. And oftentimes, until God writes it, the evil's going to seem to be triumphing.
Yeah.
And that's all right. But at the same time, it doesn't stop us from carrying the light.
Yeah.
And what I'm amazed at, and this is the thing that I keep thinking is, man, there's got to be, Christ has got to be coming back soon. Because
yeah.
I know for a fact the gospel has to have been close to getting around the world or that all people have heard or had an opportunity. Because, man, when you look at the phone, the internet, the satellites, everything that's there, you got several listeners from a country we can't even pronounce and don't even know where they're at, listening to three guys in a conference room talk about the scriptures and the Father and how to be saved. Man, that's a mind-boggling.
I went on Wycliffe's website maybe a couple of weeks ago. But I kind of knew what I was looking for, and this is what I was looking for. Is the Bible in everybody's language? Every language.
It's close.
It's close, very close.
Because you have some obscure languages that are out there.
Yes, yeah, and I mean, they're even starting to work on doing a Bible in sign language or unspoken language.
Or in Braille.
Yeah. I don't know how they're doing it, yeah. And it
pictures?
I don't know.
What's an unspoken language?
I don't know. Not unspoken, but unwritten language is what I meant.
Okay.
It's all verbal.
Yeah.
And so that I don't know how they're doing that, but I do know this. It used to take 20 years, a hard 20 years, to translate a Bible in a different language. Now, I don't know if that's just the New Testament or the total, old and new. But now it takes less than 5 years because of all the technology. And you can write a book. I know people that are writing books. She comes out with one every 3 months.
Who's this?
Some friend of Renee's. She's from California. She lives over here. She knows it through Celebrate Recovery.
I got you. What kind of book she writing in 3 months?
It's mysteries, light mysteries. I'm in it. Actually, my name's in the last one she wrote. Renee's name is in there too. Because we're getting
a copy of this.
My name disappears. See, Renee runs a coffee shop.
Like 300 pages, 200 pages.
Well, it's a pretty. I don't know. I haven't read it. Renee just told me my name.
I think you need to get an autographed copy, man. Or at least I wouldn't mind having one with your name in it.
Well, she does.
Did you do it?
No.
Okay, just want to make sure. Did she do it to you? It's a mystery. Were you the guilty party?
No. I'm just.
You just the guy.
I don't know what role I'm playing.
Renee's, I want to find out.
Renee's a coffee shop. I don't know if I'm even married to Renee, but I do know her.
Oh, okay. But you're not a.
She's reading every one of them.
You're not the perpetrator.
No.
Well, I'm just a bystander. Pretty good if she wants to read them.
But she's an author, and she uses little things that, you know, things that she hears about in Fuquay. She kind of puts it in her book, you know. Mm. Just little things like the Fuquay Springs.
Okay. Yeah. I just don't want. Did she call it that?
I don't know. No, I don't. I'm just giving an example.
I'd pick up a copy of one of these.
But it doesn't say Fuquay Springs. That changed the name to something.
No, she does use names.
Right, like Fuquay Springs.
Yeah.
And Kenny.
But it might not be what you're thinking of Fuquay Springs. Yeah, she used my name.
Yeah, Kenny Lewis, me. Not Lewis.
And. So, but she is on Amazon.
I think I wouldn't mind checking out one then.
You happen to know the name of it?
No.
Kenny did it.
Renee. I think this is
Kenny is guilty.
She wants to, at one time, I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we are on a roll today.
I don't even know why if it's even come up. Her desire at one time was to write a book. I mean, to own a bookstore. And she is a writer. And she fiddled around with this one person that, I guess for a couple of years, that she wrote a book and it was never published. She found something wrong with this and that, or she wasn't doing what she, on her end of the bargain, this lady that she got to...
fiddle around with.
Yeah.
I like that.
Do what?
You had said she was fiddling around with. I'm like, I don't know what that entails with writing books, but like partnering with or trying to get published?
No, she was a good publication.
Okay, a publisher.
I don't know. I'm telling you more than what I actually
read. He's telling you more than he knows.
I didn't need to write this book.
No, but it is. I was just telling you how she got to write. She just said, I'm going to just write it on my own.
Okay.
And she,
I knew somebody that did that.
You can publish now. You don't have to have
Amazon.
You can
do a book very quickly.
That's
how we got on this, because the Bible's being translated so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we got on.
Is that where we got from there?
That's right, yeah.
Then we, yeah,
she's
we
writing jumped. Books at a good clip. But I would think with Google Translates and Google everything, you could get close to that still, especially if it's a language that's not out there. It's going
to
take
time. Well,
you
have to learn the language.
Yeah. Well, I know. It takes time. But it is quickly becoming because when you the more you study languages, the more you realize, okay, there's some that are nothing like English or Greek or anything like that. And those are probably the ones that are left, the ones that aren't anything like, you know,
well, they're discovering new languages, too.
Yeah.
But it is...
some of it unspoken.
Yeah. Not unspoken, yeah.
Unwritten.
Not unwritten. I mean, not written. Not a written language.
Yeah, but unwritten.
I think there's like 200 or 300 left.
Languages?
That haven't been started.
Gotcha.
That translating.
Now, there's a lot that are in process.
Yeah, and I think the thing of it is, and that may seem like a big number, but when you take a look at the various dialects and languages that are in the world, mm-hmm. that's very few.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what constitutes a new language. Is it Spanish? Is that one? I mean, is it English? Then. King English is another language,
or is it Valley?
Or is it South Valley American Spanish, North American Spanish, or the...
Southern versus Northern.
Yeah. So I don't know what...
I doubt it. I think we got Southern. That's a dialect. I don't think that includes... Usually you don't have to do that.
Well, I have known people that knew how to speak Spanish, but they couldn't understand anything how it was spoken in South America.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I get that. And that's a different country.
I'm like that when I try and call support or whatever, and I get some Asian on the phone. I can't pick it up.
Easy.
Have you ever tried that?
Oh, I know.
I just can't pick it up.
Or I have to just repeat that for me.
Yeah, several times.
Listen carefully. Yeah, I mean, anytime you've got, you just need to, I have to really, and look, these ears ain't as strong as they used to be.
Yeah, you really have to. I mean, I didn't know if it was me or just.
Well, I usually tell them, look, I'm hard of hearing, but I'm not that much. I am a little. Too much race car and too much gun shooting and hollering.
So what, you just lying a little?
Well, I mean, I just say I'm hard of hearing you.
Oh, man.
Industries is how.
Hi, everybody. See y'all.
And who does New Great? You know who does New Great? Colossians. It's Peter in that Colossians.
Oh, I'm back in mine. Got a newspaper article?
No, I don't have my glasses.
I think it's Romans 8. Is it Romans 8, your cutout, basically, of the Bible?
No, that's just the part that it's coming out.
Okay. You know, I was talking about Christian wanting chicken nuggets all the time, and I told Gabe and Reese I was going to tell Christian that the pork chop was chicken. I said, we're just going to tell him it's chicken. And Gabe said, Dad, you're not supposed to lie.
Yeah, ain't no
I
lie.
Said, it's okay to lie to your kids once in a while. He said, really? I said, okay. But, so I got trapped there.
It's like unto chicken.
There you go.
It's the other white meat.
Yeah, I said, I don't think I know how to make green beans. She said, Dad, you just pour them in the pot and turn them on. And
no, there's more to it, man.
Apparently there is, because she said they were the worst green beans she'd ever had. So.
Grandma always knew how to cook, didn't they?
Boy, howdy, did they.
I mean, they send kids to
them. And grandmas, they know how to cook.
Yes.
I'm not sure the next generation of grandmas.
Yeah, my generation has just kind of...
It's the same.
Hardy's.